Take your Bibles this morning and go with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. As soon as I make that statement, it is a familiar passage, and probably most everyone here in the audience knows about Proverbs 31. We want to look again at a great chapter of the Bible and a great section of this chapter. Just a reminder, tonight, special services, we have communion tonight, 5 p.m. I'd love to have you join us for that special time. And if I can go further on the announcement for the VBS meeting, we'll meet this morning. We'll try to meet again probably Wednesday night and then touch base again next Sunday as well. So if you've not joined in on the VBS meetings but would like to help, we can always plug you in. And it would be much better to be involved in these meetings than to come to me next Monday morning at 8:45, right before the kids get here at 9 o'clock, and say, "Pastor, what can I do?" It would be beneficial if I knew that you're going to be participating, and there's so many different ways to be a blessing. I'd love to have you come to the meetings. If for some reason you're not able to come to the meeting but would be able to help, then by all means, just let me know, and I can give further direction there as well. We're in the midst of a series here on the home and the best defense of the home. We have looked thus far at three different messages: the loving husband, the leading father, the learning child. And today we come to this passage, this chapter in Proverbs 31, and we look at the laboring mother, the laboring mother. When I use the word labor, I know immediately there are those that would begin to think of the nature of childbirth and the labor that is there in childbirth. And there are some statements that have been made and interactions that have occurred as it relates to childbirth, and questions that have been asked as it relates to childbirth. And one person said, "My childbirth instructor says it's not pain that I feel during labor, but pressure. Is she right?" And the answer is yes, in the same way that a tornado might be called an air current. The question comes, when is the best time to get an epidural? And the answer is right after you find out you're pregnant. A husband said, "Is there any reason I have to be in the delivery room while my wife is in labor?" The answer, not unless the word alimony means anything to you. The question, is there anything I should avoid while recovering from childbirth? The answer, yes, pregnancy. The question, do I have to have a baby shower? The answer, not if you change the baby's diaper very quickly. Let that sink in there. The question, our baby was born last week. When will my wife begin to feel and act normal again? The answer, when the kids go off to college. Oh. Everybody responds differently to those. Everybody's thinking of different things. I think I told you, but for some reason, I turned my hat around backwards when Reagan was born. He was born at 5 o'clock in the morning, and so I, in the overnight hours, at some point in time, as my wife was in labor, I turned my hat around backwards. I don't know why, but all of the pictures there in those early moments, my hat's backwards. And that is one of the cardinal sins against my mother. It is an absolute sin. You do not turn your hat around backwards. And when she saw those photos and my hat was backwards, I was like, "Mom, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, come on, you know, cut me some slack there." She's like, "Your hat should not have been backwards." But anyway, you look at all those questions and answers differently. And I know that there are individuals that have different experiences walking through that path toward having a child. We come to Proverbs chapter 31, and I believe it's appropriate in this day to make a couple of statements before the message. What we're going to see here in this passage is possible. It's not a criteria that is given for a lady to ascend to that's an impossibility. It is possible. And it is God's directive towards moms. But I recognize this morning that in a crowd this size, we no doubt have some individuals that are sitting before us that did not have a mom that was a Proverbs 31 lady. Do you know that I wish that I could go back and change that? I wish that I could go back and give you the mom that God would have you to have. I wish that I could do that. I can't do it. But it is my desire to encourage each of the moms that we have sitting before us to aspire to have the attributes of this lady. Now, I know that there are some that would look at the passage and would say, well, I'll pick and choose which one I would like to have and everything like this. And I know that not every mom will excel in the very same areas, but I believe that these are biblical principles that every mom can apply to their life in some way, shape, or form. And so while there may be some today that as I speak on moms, you might be thinking, you know, my relationship with my mom is not good, or my mom was nowhere near the nature of this Proverbs 31 woman. Would you take this as your spirit then? What can God do through you to have an impact on the next generation? Because surely you are interacting with someone else that did not have a Proverbs 31 mom, but you're given the opportunity as an aunt, as a teacher, as a person that may even adopt. You're given the opportunity to have an impact on that child's life. And you do have a choice in this matter. You can be different than maybe what was set before you as the example. So that's one area that I would, my heart is heavy because I do know that there are some that would say I didn't have a Proverbs 31 mom. But then there's another area, and my heart's heavy for this area as well. Tragically, we live in a society in which single parenting has become more prevalent. And there are some young ladies that are with child, and you have or face a daunting task. There are, and I've experienced this through years of ministry, ladies that have had a spouse that has departed from them and basically in their departure left the ladies with one or more children. And you're seeking to train that child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, but it's being done in the absence of a solid husband. If I could say it this way, it may even be that the husband is physically present in the home, but he's not spiritually present. You might be the believer in the home, and you're praying for the spouse to get saved. In our society today, we have many single moms. My mother-in-law works in a pregnancy center up in Pennsylvania. And while they were just in for the graduation ceremonies and so forth, I had a chance to just chat as we were getting ready for breakfast and chat about the nature of her investment in these young ladies that come in. And she just relayed a story of a 14-year-old girl that was coming into the pregnancy center and her family was with her. And this 14-year-old girl was going to receive an ultrasound and determine the nature of what was ahead for that 14-year-old girl. My heart breaks. In so many of these scenarios, the child is conceived. And of course, we understand that two individuals are involved in that. But one has made a choice to walk away. And no doubt there would be some this morning that would just say, I'm just going to throw my hands up because it's no longer possible for me to have this kind of a, of a life or this kind of an attribute to my life. But if I could encourage single moms this morning, God knows your situation. And God still desires for you to have a great impact on that youngster, on that next generation. Some of the greatest examples in the scriptures we find in the lives of single moms that were a tremendous testimony for their children. And while I wish that everyone had this down and everyone had this as it should be, one man for one woman for one lifetime, and everybody went through the process as it should be, a time of courtship and a time of engagement and a time of marriage, and then at some point in time after that, a time of children. While I wish that that were the nature of everyone in society today, I recognize that you and I are growing up in a culture that in many cases has this totally upside down. Would you remember this, or at least help others with this? You cannot control the actions of others, but God does hold us accountable for our actions and our reactions. And you might raise those kids in a single format. Does not mean at all that those kids can't be everything that God wants them to be. And so let me challenge you in each of these circumstances. If you had a mom that was less than the Proverbs 31 mom, understand that God will not hold you accountable for that. But if you live every day from this day forward in bitterness as to that, then you might miss out on the opportunity to train the next generation. And if this morning you find yourself in that position of being the single mom, if I could encourage you to follow the attributes in this passage so much as you can. And I know a lot of it is intertwined with the nature of having a husband, but if I can be blunt, sometimes husbands are louses. And they don't do right. But I cannot use the excuse, well, God, I didn't invest in my kids because of the decision that my spouse made. You continue forward and do what God would have you to do, and I know that God will be honored. We look at this passage this morning and we find a very precious woman. If you would read these opening verses with me here in chapter 31, in verse number 10, the Bible says this: "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar." Let's put our focus initially on that first verse. Who can find a virtuous woman? Let's pray and ask God's direction this morning. Lord, I pray that you would direct my thoughts. I pray that I would be sensitive to the nature of the two issues that I've already presented to the people. I pray that these dear folks before me today would know my heart as it relates to those two scenarios. My heart's heavy. I wish that I could go back and change circumstances in both those areas, but I can't. But I can pray for the ladies that find themselves in that difficult spot. And I pray that you'd help them to rise above those circumstances and to be elegant women that put you first, that honor you, that in a biblical way they'd be that laboring mom, gives of herself for her family. We're looking for the best defense against the attacks of Satan. And I know the best defense is found in that husband that will love his wife as Christ loved the church. I know that it is found in that father that will lead his family biblically. I know that the best defense is found in the lives of young people that will learn, that will listen, that will heed the admonition of the Scriptures. And as we look this morning at the best defense of the laboring mom, Lord, I pray that You'd open hearts. Everything, just about everything that I say in the message this morning runs counter to the secular society that we find ourselves in. And I pray that the folks would see themselves as it is before the Word of God and before the throne of God. They're not lining themselves up against my opinion. But I pray that I'd be directing them to the Scriptures, and that they would in turn line themselves up with biblical truth. Lord, direct in the message, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Number one this morning, as we look at this Proverbs 31 woman, it's very obvious at the outset in Proverbs chapter 31 in verse number 10 that this woman is rare. Who can find a virtuous woman? One commentator did a study on Solomon and all his wives. If he had 1,000 wives and concubines and he ruled 50 years, he was taking 20 wives on average each year. That, my friend, is a very difficult way to go about finding the one special wife. He is looking here, there, and everywhere for that one special virtuous woman. And here in Proverbs 31, the Bible declares that this woman is rare. Who can find this kind of a woman? But if I could declare to each of the young men this morning that it is worth the search to find this kind of a lady, and it is worth the wait. There are so many that want to rush headlong into marriage, but it is better to wait and marry the right one than to rush and sorrow in such a mistake. Obviously, it's the second most important decision that you will ever make in your life. The most important decision is what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ and whether or not you accept Him as a Savior. But the truth of the matter is that second most important decision is directly related to the one that you choose to spend your life with. Do not take this choice lightly. You go into your closet in the morning and you decide what you're going to wear. You pull up to the drive-thru and you decide what number of the menu you're going to order. You go through life and you make choices on a daily basis and you decide what you're going to have or what you're going to do. But my friend, there is no other choice that is greater than this choice than the matter of who you will ask to be your bride. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 3 and verse number 11, speaking of Naomi, they declared, "For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." It ought to be known throughout that you are a virtuous woman. I misspoke. That was a statement related to Ruth as she had come into the land and people observed her life. They recognize this is a rare gem in a society today. In recent days and months and weeks, we've had all kinds of protests and all kinds of individuals that have gone to seek to have their rights listed and elevated and so forth. And one of those was a march where women were marching for certain rights and everything like this. And I could not believe the nature of the vile language that came out of the speakers and these entertainment individuals and the individuals that were proclaiming, we need to have all these things. And I thought to myself, how in the world can you declare that you want to have an impact on the coming generation and have such a vile mouth to be so profane that you would make a sailor blush? I'm just amazed that they would do that in front of kids. I remember a day in which men would not talk that way. And now it's put out there that this is the common theme. This is what is expected. And so number one, this woman is rare. Who can find this kind of virtuous woman? But number two, it's not only that she is rare, but the Bible says that she is respectful. Look at verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Proverbs 31 and verse number 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And right now there may be someone sitting in the service that they think, oh my goodness, how can you be saying this kind of thing? Remember two things. Number one, at the outset, this is contrary to secular society today. And number two, if you get upset with this message, please go back and listen to the message that I preached against husbands. And maybe that'll encourage you. Pastor, you're just picking on the moms today. No, I'm not picking on the moms today. I desire to encourage moms to be a Proverbs 31 mom and to follow the Bible principles that are given here. She's respectful of her husband. The Bible says that God brought the wife to the husband to complete him. Listen to this. God did not bring the wife to the husband to compete with him. And if we can make it very clear, the Bible says the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. And the Bible says he took from the rib of Adam and formed her from the dust of the ground. The Bible says that she's taken from that rib. She's a companion through life, not a competitor. She's not a combatant. She's not there to bring about this wrestling match of who's going to get their way. She's meant to complete her husband. She's not taken from the head bone that she might rule over her husband. She's not taken from the foot bone that she might be the slave in the household. But she's an individual that is respectful of the spouse that God has given to her. Can I declare to you this morning that that is not only done in what you do with your life, but it is also shown in what you say with your lips. Now, husbands make bad choices all the time. We do. We don't like to stop for directions. My son and I just were sitting and watching a sitcom from back in the 90s. That was decades ago. And as we're sitting there, the husband does not want to stop and ask for directions. And so they get lost. So he finally stops and he gets directions. And then they drive around another hour and he comes back to the very same location. And he walks in and realizes, I haven't gotten anywhere. And his wife the whole time is saying, stop for directions. For whatever reason, we don't like stopping for directions. I don't know why. I just have a general sight that this is the way we ought to go. And the worst part about it is, it's a woman's voice telling us which way we need to go now in the cell phone, right? We don't like to stop for directions. We don't like to be told to go to the doctor. Oh, I'm in pain. Honey, why don't you go to the doctor? I don't need to. I don't know why we're that way. We're that way. Boy, there's a lot of crazy idiosyncrasies about husbands, aren't there? See, I can say that because I know my own life. My wife could stand and give testimony for hours as to the idiosyncrasies that I have. It's funny when I counsel with couples that are getting ready to get married, because they'll sit before me and in the beginning session they'll say, well, Pastor, we're going to go through the counseling, but we pretty much know everything that there is to know about each other, but we'll sit and listen to whatever you have to say. And I'm just sitting there I really want to turn my chair around and look to the books behind me and just kind of laugh and chuckle and everything like that. And then turn back to them because I'm like, guys, are you serious? You are going to learn so much in your first week. And you're still going to be learning stuff in the 10th week. Wives, God brought you to your husband to complete him. To complete him. She is respectful of that position. Wives, when you tear your husbands down, it has an impact on the whole family. Now, I understand that we make some poor decisions now and again. But wives, moms, would you keep that to yourself? Don't drive it into your kids. Don't refer to him in a slang way. Don't refer to dad as the kind of the idiot of the house. Don't undermine and destroy. The Bible declares here in Proverbs 31 that this wife, this mother, has a husband that is known in the gates. If anything, wives, encourage others to think much of your husband because he had enough wisdom to choose you as a spouse. Praise everyone. Praise him at every opportunity. He's a genius. Look at who he chose for his wife. She's respectful. She's rare. Number three, she's not only rare and respectful, but number three, according to Proverbs 31, she's resourceful. Verses 13 to 22, I won't take time to read it, but verses 13 to 22 reveal to us the nature of her resourcefulness. She's considering a field. She's preparing meals. She's gathering harvest. She's meeting the needs of the family. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. And I, as a husband, would look at my wife, the mom of our boys, and I'd say on many occasions, when my light has been out for hours, she's still committed. She's still committed. When our son just graduated from high school, if it were left up to me, what are we talking about for a high school celebration? A couple of Dixie cups, maybe. Some plastic spoons, maybe some of those pudding snack packs. Come on in. Grab a spoon. Here's your pudding snack. Celebrate with us. Woohoo! He graduated. Yippee! Thanks for coming. Have a good day. Son, aren't you glad that mom was in charge of the preparation? I'm the Polaroid one-step photo man. Cha-ching! Here's the picture. Be happy. Be warmed and filled, you know, kind of a thing. She has to have everything correct, everything right. Why? Because everybody's got eyes looking in every direction. They're red, you know, when the photo's taken, and so she wants it to be right. But there are many nights where her candle goeth not out. Everyone else is long gone to bed, and mom is taking care of the needs because she's laboring on our behalf. I think of my own mom and the sacrifices that she made and gave of herself. There is a famous story in the Abbey household because we had a Washington Post paper route for 11 years in Burke. And basically the paper route got left to whoever was still in the household. And so my dad and brother started the route, dad driving.